Imagine a life where you can spend according to your values, give generously, love richly, live intentionally, and handle your finances biblically. That's what the Faith and Finance podcast is all about. I'm your host, Adrienne Hildebrand, and on the Faith and Finance podcast, we discuss personal finance, intentional living, and value-aligned spending by sharing inspiring stories and practical topics to help you steward your finances in a way that honors God and builds your faith and wealth for the present and generations to come. Let's get started. Hey friend, welcome back to the Faith and Finance podcast. I'm so excited that you're here today. If I just want to say this really quick, if you hear some noise outside, it's because we are currently stopped at a gas station, and I planned on recording this intro tonight in our hotel room, but we are actually having to leave our vacation a little bit early. Please keep my grandfather in your prayers. But anyway, just wanted to say that. Anyway, I'm so pumped that Dustin is on the show today. So today I have Dustin Heiner on the show, and Dustin is the founder and real estate expert at MasterPassiveIncome.com. He also hosts a podcast called Successfully Unemployed, which is so fitting because at 37 years old, by investing in real estate rental properties, he is now on a mission to help everyone to quit their job and never have a job again. That's awesome. He also helps his students build successful real estate investing businesses all over the country. I love this episode with Dustin because he really deep dives into sort of what, I guess, got him into all this, right? Like, we love hearing the stories of people who have done amazing things. And so I'm so pumped that he is on the show today. So please make sure you listen and stick around for the whole thing. Also, Dustin has given us a free course at masterpassiveincome.com/free course. So make sure you check it out. It's awesome. And Dustin's awesome. I just keep saying the word awesome because I'm so pumped about today's episode. So let's hear from Dustin. Dustin, welcome to the Faith and Finance podcast. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
I am thrilled to have you on the show because you're talking about something I think is so interesting and something I'm still kind of learning about. So I'm so excited to have you on the show to talk with the audience and even me selfishly about what you do. So tell us, Dustin, a little bit about yourself and share a little bit of your money story with us.
Sure. So I'm really just a normal person. It was probably about 13 years ago, I was working a normal job. Actually, I was doing IT work in the local county government where I lived in California. I currently live in Phoenix, Arizona. But at the time, I was living in Arizona. I had just got married, and my wife and I were talking about just future and everything. And I said, I really want to not have to work a job again. Like, that was my entire goal, was to never have to work a job. And so starting when I was like 13 years old, I had a paper route where I was delivering newspapers. I even had a skateboard and manufacturing company. I had a graphic and website design company. I started a convenience store and sold that eventually. So I've always been entrepreneurial. And in the meantime, I was starting to realize that all those were just basically other jobs. Even though I wasn't working for somebody else, I still had other people I had to answer to, like all my customers. And then I found rental properties and real estate and seeing how passive it was. So back in 2006, I believe, before the crash, maybe 2007-ish, I bought my first rental property because I wanted to eventually never have to work a job. And I knew that passive income was the right way to go. And all the other businesses that I was creating were taking a lot of time and effort, but I bought one rental property. And I think I was making about $350 a month in passive income from that one property without doing anything. Like, I had other people doing the work. And I thought, my goodness, if that's one property is making $350, what if I had 10 properties? That'd be $3,500 a month. And I just, you know, kept thinking about scaling it from there. And so that was, you know, my wife, she, praise the Lord, I'm blessed to have her to be able to stay at home ever since we got married. And now she homeschools the kids, and I have the hard job of my wife has the hard job of homeschooling the kids. I have the easy job of making money. Now, when I say when I'm making money, it's really buying a property and letting other people do the work for me. And so eventually, after about 9 years, I was able to quit my job. And now I just have money coming in passively from the rental properties that I own.
That is incredible. That's why real estate investing is so intriguing to me. Although I like to work, I am kind of also sometimes I'm like, I don't want to do anything today. So that is in the most incredible way to go, because truly passive income is having other people do the work for you, as you mentioned. So for someone who maybe doesn't know what passive income is, do you mind just giving a brief description really of what that is?
Absolutely. And that's one of my favorite, definitions of anything. So passive income is basically working one time and getting paid over and over and over again, and literally just continually making money. So when I buy one rental property, after I have the business set up, after I have the people working, it takes me literally about 2 to 3 hours from beginning to end of my own personal time. Now, it takes a lot more work because I have other people do the work, but it only takes 3 hours of my time to actually buy the property. And then once I own it, I release other people, or I pay other people to do the work, and I don't work at all anymore. In fact, I literally work 30 minutes a month on all of my businesses, all my properties, all the different property managers. I just review the statements and look at how much is coming in, make sure they're not stealing from me, and I just make money. Now, I completely appreciate what you said. You like to work. I love working, but I just don't want to work for somebody else. I want to do the things that I want to do. And that's what rental properties allows me to do, is basically start new businesses or serve at my church or go on trips or do whatever I want, because I don't have to work because of the passive income.
That is exactly what I love talking about on this podcast, because the reality is, you know, more so than just wanting to find something to do just because it's your passion or whatever. But you mentioned, you know, now I get to do kind of whatever I want to do. And that may mean going and volunteering at my church or volunteering my time elsewhere. And that's, we talk a lot about intentional living on this podcast. And that is truly because my faith is so strong for me. The reason, you know, we want to get our finances right, and a lot of the audience want to do that and to, you know, figure out other ways to make money, is because they too have the same passion and the same heart to do that. So I appreciate you sharing that portion of your story. So I know you mentioned you had several other businesses before all this, but what was the impetus to kind of actually really wanting to get into real estate? Why was real estate your passive income dream, I guess?
So I started just starting businesses. I created business after business because I just didn't want to work for somebody else. I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to be financially independent, not just, you know, working a job and getting a paycheck and having to rely on that job. And here's a sad thing. So one day we just had our fourth kid, or she gave birth to our fourth child. I was on paternity leave, and I think it was about a week long, maybe a little more than that. And then I get back to work, my normal county job that I was working, and I get a phone call on a Friday at 3 p.m. So I answer the phone, and it's my boss's secretary. I say, Dustin, the boss's boss would like for you to come to his office. And I said, okay. And I hung up the phone, and I started thinking, uh-oh, you know, what's going on? Like, I never get called to his office. I haven't been back long enough to really have done anything bad or, you know, wrong or nothing really good. So I started getting kind of nervous. And then I remembered that before I left on paternity leave, there was rumors, just like slight little rumors, that they didn't have enough money for all the employees. So they were talking about layoffs. And so I started immediately starting to sweat, thinking about all this work that I put in at my job, working there for years, trying to build up seniority, and thinking I might be losing my job. And so I get up out of my chair and I start walking down the hallway, just that's running through my brain. And then my feet feel heavier and heavier as I walk down the hallway, like they're just lead bricks. And I start feeling like I'm a failure, not even knowing that I'm gonna get laid off, but this is really starting to hit me. I get to my boss's office, and the secretary she says, Dustin, would you please have a seat? And she is really almost consoling. She knows what's going on, but she feels really bad it's happening. So I have a seat and I immediately start to think of my newborn, my fourth child and the other four kids and my wife, thinking, man, how am I going to provide for them? Well, the door eventually opens and out walks a coworker of mine. She's noticeably upset. She's holding a piece of paper and she leaves. And my boss says, all right, Dustin, would you come into my office? Well, lo and behold, I get a 2-week notice. They're laying me off. And as I'm walking back to my desk, I feel so just like a failure. Like I'm literally not going to be able to provide for my family with a roof over their heads and food. And I realize that I cannot let this ever happen to me. So I get back to, my chair at my desk and I sit down. I know I have 2 weeks and I have 2 weeks to do two things. Number one, find another job because I have to take care of my family and provide for my family. But number two, figure out a way to never let this happen to me again. And so I went full force. I praise the Lord. I was blessed to get a job. I never actually got laid off. I got the layoff notice, but I transferred to another department, got another job, and that helped me to start investing and buying more properties. And so that day I became an investor. I said, no longer am I working for the government. I'm now an investor. So somebody says, well, you know, how do you make a lot of money from investing? Like, no, I still have a full-time job. Actually, it's turning now. I look at it as I'm an investor with a part-time job, even because my value is not in my job. My value is what God's given me with my family and myself. I put the value in myself that now I'm an investor. And from then, I just kept buying property after property, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Like if I get to 30 properties, which I have more than 30 properties now, if I get to 30 properties, I literally won't need to work. And so praise the Lord, it was back in 2016, the end of 2016, I was able to quit my job. And that last time walking out of the office, walking to my car, I felt like I was walking on clouds because I said, you know, boss, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm working for myself. And I was truly blessed to literally say, I will never, ever have a job again.
That is amazing that sometimes it takes things like that, like, I mean, scary things sort of, to push us into thinking outside of the box, or think, you know, saying, hey, that might actually work for me, taking a risk, because the risk is already before you. You might be losing your job. So it's like, what? We got to figure something out. So I appreciate you sharing that and being real too about the feelings that you had. I mean, you had a family to take care of and you're like, I got to figure something out. And so you're thanking the Lord for helping you find this. And that's incredible. But did you mention exactly how you had first heard of real estate investing?
No, I didn't. So I first realized that I could invest in real estate. I think I was just getting out of college. My dad was a contractor. We never actually owned real estate as rental properties, but I've always enjoyed real estate in general. I worked with my dad in the blazing sun on a hot slab building and framing houses. So I always liked houses. I was like, construction. So I thought maybe I should flip houses. But then I realized it takes a good amount of money and then it takes a lot of work. And I was already working a job. So I thought, let me go ahead and do rental property. So it was my brother sent me a book. He was actually teaching English in Japan for like 2 years. And he read a book on real estate and owning rental properties. He mailed it to me. And I said, okay. And I started reading. I was like, man, this is awesome. Let me go ahead and do that. Then I also read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is all about the book that Robert Kiyosaki wrote, all about passive income. And he talked about real estate. I said, well, I'm going to do it. So from there, I said, on top of all the other businesses that I started that I owned and my job and my family and my kids, I bought my first property. And the greatest thing is that the easiest and least amount of time and the most money that I make is from the one business in real estate. All the other businesses did not do any good. It obviously did well. I made a little bit of money, sold a couple businesses. It worked out well, but the easiest one made me the most money and I literally don't do any work. That's why I just put all of my effort and time and energy into buying more real estate. Now I literally can travel the world. I'll give you an example. In 2017, right after I quit my job, I took my wife, my four kids, and my dad. We went to Japan for 6 weeks, traveled all around the island of Japan. I think it was like 1,500 mile driving. I literally drove on the left-hand side of the road all around the entire island of Japan. And then in 2018, I took my family, we went to Europe. Well, my wife, and my four kids, we went through 11 different countries and on a 6-week trip, traveling all around. And I literally didn't have to think about my properties at all because I have other people working. And then this year in 2019, we went, now 6 weeks is a long time to travel. You kind of get tired after that. So we're doing 4 weeks now. So not because we have to, because it's, we just get tired. So we went from Florida, drove all the way up to New York and for on a 4-week trip sightseeing. Remember, we homeschool. So it was basically a big field trip for the kids and then flew from New York, or actually Washington, DC, flew back to Phoenix. And so we love traveling. We love being together, but that's what passive income and my rental properties allows me to do, is literally whatever I want. And that's why I'm so blessed to have all these properties. And every night when we read the Bible with the kids, we pray, and we pray for our tenants. We pray for them that God blesses them with the faith to believe, and at the same time that God takes care of our properties and all that. And so, yeah, we're just fully, fully blessed to have these properties.
That is beautiful. Truly. I mean, I'm kind of speechless because it's beautiful that you even are saying, you know, all that I have really and is because of God and his mercy and his blessings. And that's so, so, so incredible. So I am a wife and I'm usually the one with the crazy ideas about, you know, businesses or whatever that looks like. So what in the world did that conversation look like? First of all, you found out on that day that you're losing your job. And then you're like, well, I think I want to invest in real estate. So what was your wife thinking about all of this? Like, how did you have that conversation with her?
That was a really tough conversation. So she grew up as her dad was a teacher and her mom was a stay-at-home mom. And they are very, like, extremely risk averse. Like, if there's risk, they run away from it. And I'm the opposite. I'm definitely a risk taker. If somebody tells me, hey, you can't do that, I'm like, well, just watch me. I'm just going to try it. And so having that first conversation with my wife saying, well, first of all, she had money when we got married, like I think like $10,000. She saved up some money. I was never taught to save. And now I'm teaching my kids how to save, how to invest and all that good stuff. And also to how to give to God. But I was literally living paycheck to paycheck because I didn't know any other ways. And we got married. She brought in, I think it was like $10,000. And I realized, hey, babe, I really want to invest in real estate so I don't have to work a job anymore. And she was very concerned about it, really was so like against it. And I just kept pushing through. I got more education. I started talking to more people. And what really helped her to get over that hurdle of investing was walking her through the entire process. Now, I have other friends where the spouses need that, the why, but my wife needed the how. Like, how is this actually going to work? Walk me through the property, who's going to manage the property, how much money we're going to make, what are the expenses going to be, how do we scale it? She literally wanted to know every bit of the business. And I walked her through it. And after I showed her that as long as we know the expenses going into the property, we know the income, which means the rent, how much it's going to rent for, we can, with a relative certainty, know that we're going to make $250 or more every single month from these properties that we were buying. And so buying that first property, she basically just said, okay, I'm going to trust you. And we'd only been married for like 6 months, maybe 8 months or something like that. Anyways, all that to say, we bought that first property and as we were seeing $350 come in every single month from that property, she started realizing, hey, this is a good thing. And then she allowed me to like, okay, go ahead and start buying more properties. And she was always scaling me back, trying to help me to not overextend or not do anything that's not wise. But it was talking to her, walking her through the process. Literally any question that she had, I answered it as best I could so that she would feel comfortable.
That's so good that you were able to have that conversation with her though, and that she automatically didn't write you off, quite honestly, like, no, you're crazy. You know what I mean? Like she just wanted to understand your idea. So I am familiar with real estate investing, but we haven't talked a lot about it on the podcast. So I understand that, you know, the cash flow is what is important. And you said, you know, we are bringing in $300, $350, $250, whatever it is on each property or on this specific property each month. So for some people, quite honestly, they may be like, what's all that work for getting that mortgage for, you know, $250 or $350 in cash flow. So can you talk a little bit about cash flow and kind of maybe the advantages of having real estate as a business?
So cash flow is the only thing that I invest for. Now there are 6 different ways that you actually make money when you buy a rental property. I'll quickly go through them. Number one is cash flow. So every single month, you're going to make money. Number two is equity capture. So if you buy, usually as investors, we buy the property for less than it's actually worth. So if we buy it for, if it's worth $120,000, we buy it for $100,000, we capture $20,000 in equity because it's worth more. And then there's forced appreciation where we get in there, we fix it up, we make it look better. And then it might be worth $140,000 after we put in like $5,000 or $8,000. So we make more money. There's tax advantages, as 1031 exchange. It's a business, so you have write-offs. You also have just regular market appreciation, just in general, it goes up over time. A great one that I absolutely love is that your tenants pay off your mortgage for you. It's called a mortgage buy down. Like, they are literally paying off the mortgage for you. I bought the property, but they're paying it off. And so there are so many ways that the rental property makes you money, but cash flow is how I invest. And so I make sure with myself and all my students that I coach how to invest in real estate, that we focus on making $250 a minimum or more every single month from every single property that we buy. And when we do that, we can, you know, if a furnace goes out or if the roof goes out, we have money saved up that we can then pay off those things. We're not too lean in the income. And so with cash flow, I'm able to feed my family, put a roof over our heads, travel, do whatever we want. Now, here's a great thing that people might say, well, how are you able to manage the property or pay for property managers? How are you supposed to, you know, account for all these expenses and still make money? Well, I don't buy a property unless I make money. Now, here's the great thing. I do not pay my insurance. I do not pay my taxes. I don't pay my property manager. I don't pay for repairs. I literally don't pay any of that stuff. My tenants, they're the ones that pay every bit of that. And then on top of that, I make passive income. I make money because I'm providing good quality housing and they pay me for the pleasure and privilege to be inside the property. And so even in 2006 and 2007, before the market crashed in 2008, 2009, I still made money every single month because I was generating cash flow. My properties were generating cash flow. No matter if the property cut in half in value, I don't care. I was still holding onto the property. Now my properties are right back up and above where they were when they crashed. And I made money all through that time. So if the market goes up, I make money. If the market goes down, I make money. If the market goes sideways, which means doesn't do anything, I always make money. And the great thing is, on top of that, it's generational wealth. I can literally pass this down to my kids and they can do that to their kids. And I'm also passing down the knowledge of how to invest as well. So all that combined, the cash flow is the best thing about real estate rental properties.
Thank you so much for explaining that, because like I said, I understand that, but it's a lot of information, and thank you for breaking it down. Like, cash flow is not just I think a lot of people think, oh, if you can get somebody to pay the mortgage, that's enough, but that's not. You have to make sure it all makes sense. All the expenses, you know, everything like that. So thank you so much for diving a little bit deeper into that. I know there's only so much we can talk about on this, and that's why we're going to make a plug for some other things later that you do, because I love talking to you. You're very thorough, and I know that the audience is going to appreciate that as well. You're welcome. So what are a couple of tangible things that maybe someone who's brand new to real estate investing, or maybe they're just now kind of getting started on their financial journey, they're getting all their other things right because they want to be in a position someday to where they can invest in real estate or have passive income. So what's a couple of like tangible things that somebody can do at really any level?
So we can get started from the very beginning. Number one, it's easier to buy properties when you have cash. So if you don't have cash, start saving now. Now, this is the blanket statement. Everything that I've done, everything I teach my students, and everything about rental properties, it's a get wealthy plan. It's not a get rich quick scheme. It's not going to make you rich overnight. I've had students quit as little as 4 years after they started investing, but they had a lot of extreme cases that went in their favor. So this is a plan that's going to get you to be wealthy and be able to quit your job. It's not a get rich quick scheme. Now, that's the blanket statement. So what you're going to need to do is start saving your money. Put a little bit try to work your way up to 10% a month that you're putting away from your income to save for investing. On top of that, cut your expenses, try to increase your income. You want to save as much money to buy a property. The next thing that I would do is I would start building the business. Now, it's the easiest thing in the world, in my opinion, to buy a property, any property. If you've bought a home, you've bought a property. You basically get a realtor, you get a mortgage broker, and you put them together and you buy a property. It's so, so simple. Now, in the rental property business, you can lose money if you just do that. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you. The big thing on top of saving and cutting your expenses, and get ready to invest, what you want to do is make sure that you build the business before you buy the property. I did the exact opposite when I first started because I didn't know what I was doing. I bought the property and just, you know, prayed that it was going to work out. What I do now when I teach all my students is we build the business first and then buy the property. And I give you an example like this. If you're going to start a convenience store, you're going to get a building that has a, you know, it's basically a, I don't know, 2,000 square feet. You're not going to get a box of candy bars and just put it in the middle of the store without anything else and hope to run a business. No, if you do that, you're not going to make money. You're going to lose money. You're going to set up and build the business first. You're going to get the gondolas, the shelving units that you're going to put all the candy bars and things on. You're going to get the fountain machines, the cold storage. You're going to get countertops. You're going to get bank accounts. You're going to get cash registers, employees. You're going to set up the entire business before you even put one piece of inventory into your business. Now, rental property business is the exact same thing. You're going to set up the entire business first, and then every piece of property that you buy is a piece of inventory, just like a candy bar that you're putting in your business, the exact same thing. You're putting that inventory into your property. Right now, I'm blessed to have 30 plus properties. I look at those as inventory. It's literally inventory for me. And every time I go on and get a new one, that's another piece of inventory. So if there's anything that you're going to take away with, there's a couple of things. Number one, make a minimum of $250 a month. Number two, build the business first before you buy the property. Because if you build the business with the right property managers, right contractors, realtors, inspectors, wholesalers, all these certain people that are going to be helping you run your business, if you do that right, you're going to be well protected from making losses or making bad decisions. I would tell you, I hired my first property manager, didn't know what I was doing. She started stealing from me in like 6 months into working from me and or for me. And so I had to fire her and move on and find somebody else. Since then, I've developed a step-by-step system that basically you walk through these steps, you're going to hire the right people. You're going to find the right properties. You're going to buy the ones that are going to make you money. So if anybody listening is number one, make sure you're making $250 or more every single month in passive income. But number two, build the business first in whatever city. Like I currently invest in Ohio and Texas. I have a student that's literally buying right now a property in Memphis, Tennessee. I have another one that just bought in, I think, Texas as well. I have students that are buying all over the country. Now, the great thing is all real estate is local. Everywhere you go, somebody has to live there. You might not live there, but somebody has to live there. And we're so blessed with technology right now that it's so easy to find properties, to buy properties, to have other people fix them up. I literally do not fly anywhere anymore. I used to. The very first time I bought in Ohio, my wife made me fly over there to visit and see the area, and which was good because I didn't know what I was doing. Now, when I start a new city or a new state, I literally don't even go there. Out of all the 30 plus properties, I only saw one of them before I bought it. And since then, I've only seen two total out of all the properties because I let other people do the work for me and my business runs itself. So that's my suggestion is $250 or more a month and build the business before you buy the property.
This has been awesome. All the little nuggets that you've shared. And again, as I said, there's only so much we can really talk about here. So where can everyone find you? Where can they learn from you? I've learned so much just today, just hearing you talk. So I'm sure that other people are going to be like, where can I find this guy? So can you tell us where everyone can find you at?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was quitting my job, I had so many friends and family members asking me, how are you quitting your job? And what are you doing? What are you going to do for work? And I said, well, I invest in real estate. And the next question is, well, how did you do it? The question to follow up is that, can you show me how to do it? And so I love talking about it. I love helping people too. And I was quitting my job, so I had plenty of time. So I started teaching people one-on-one. Now, the sad thing about that is I have very limited time to teach people one-on-one. So I created masterpassiveincome.com. And I also started my podcast, Master Passive Income Show. And I also have my courses and books and everything where I'm just trying to give as much information as way to people as possible so that they can start investing, because I am so blessed to have this. So it's masterpassiveincome.com, as well as my podcast, the Master Passive Income Podcast. And Adrian, would you mind if I gave everybody a free, something for free that they can get them started investing?
I do not mind at all.
Awesome. So I have a free course that I want to give you. Now, if you go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course, all one word, masterpassiveincome.com/free course, I will give you my free investing course. It'll walk you through the process. It'll show you how to analyze the deals, how to make sure you're making the right amount of money, how to find the right property managers, basically walk you through the entire process. So go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course and get that free course.
Dustin, this is awesome. I'm for sure going to put that in the show notes. Everyone needs to go look at this. And you guys have heard Dustin's heart today too. He's not just some guy that's trying to scam you or something like that. He's showed his heart for what he's doing. And from all the research I've done and listening and through all this financial things that I've learned, real estate investing is a real thing. And so if that is something that you are interested in, please go check out Dustin. He has been so incredible today, sharing all his little tidbits with us. Dustin, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for being on the Faith and Finance podcast.
Thank you, Adrian. I'm super happy. And thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Faith and Finance podcast. For full episode show notes, make sure you scroll down wherever you're listening to this podcast and click the link there to read all the show notes and also access all of the links to today's episode. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. I love hearing from you guys. And you can also follow me at faith.in.finance on Instagram. You can like me on Facebook at Faith and Finance. And you can also visit my website at faithandfinance.org. You guys are awesome. Keep the faith, my friend.